Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Surfing is making its Olympic debut this year, and many people's pick to win gold on the women's side is American phenom Carissa Moore.
This one right here, are you joking? Wham! Right in the pocket. Doesn't get any better than that. Yes, you can smile. Carissa Moore, you little legend.
Moore was a surfing prodigy who dominated competitions in Hawaii from a very early age. The Athletic's Christopher Kamrani recently spoke with Moore, and he joins us today to talk about all the ways in which she is not a stereotypical surfer, what a gold medal would mean for her legacy, and how she and her father, who is also her coach, have walked the line between pursuing a dream and not breaking her. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto. It's Monday, July 26th, and this is The Lead. So, Chris, you recently interviewed the woman who is considered by many to be the best female surfer alive, certainly one of them. So first, I have to ask you, how do you rate your own surfing skills?
Well, as a person who's been up all of four times on a board, on a scale of 1 to 10, I will go 0.04.
Okay, all right. Are you a went to Costa Rica and took a lesson for a week kind of guy?
No. Growing up in Northern California, we would occasionally go out and just mess around, my friends and I. When I say get up on a board, I'm talking about like 3 to 4 seconds before totally losing my balance and doing the old the old school banana peel slip out.
All right. Well, moving on to someone who is much better at doing the surfing thing than either you or I. For those who might have never heard of or seen Carissa Moore, can you just lay out some of her accomplishments and what sort of separates her from the competition?
Carissa Moore is the face of the sport.
Well, she's got a rhythm now with the ocean. Carissa Moore setting up another clean wall here at Honolulu Bay.
At least from an American perspective, for the last decade, she is a four-time world champion. From the time she was 18 to now 28, she's won four world titles.
Sweeping arc, right in the pocket, laid back power jam, right on the money. Wrist just drilling the lip now. Big bowl section.
She has a boatload of tricks in her arsenal. She doesn't rely on one style of surfing to win competitions.
The queen of variety, the being radical and progressive, and getting a 10-point ride to close out a season. It doesn't get any better than
whatever country she's in, whatever break she's surfing. Carissa, more often than not, has the upper hand on the field because she has such an innate ability to pick and choose when she wants to go big, throw some big tricks, or play it safe and impress the judges with her various surfing styles.
One of the things that jumped out at me from your recent story about her is how she doesn't fit the mold of a typical surfer. Can you tell us what you learned about her personality and the way that she's wired, I guess?
Yeah, so I think for a lot of us mainlanders, we assume that a professional surfer in Hawaii is what you would see when you walk into a mall and see like a Billabong poster or a Quiksilver advertisement, you know, somebody who's living their absolute best life. And I'm not saying that Carissa is not, because she absolutely is, but Carissa is very much a cerebral athlete. She is admittedly a very anxious person.
I run pretty like high stress, but sure. I'm trying to calm down a lot more and try to like find, you know, that just peace a little bit more.
She talks about how she dreams in surfing and how sometimes the dreams aren't that positive.
It's so funny. I haven't actually had good dreams. I've had more like panic dreams, like a late for a heat or okay. And I never actually get there. And or if it's like some subconscious like anxiety. I have more of those. I wish I had the good ones.
And Carissa Moore is the type of surfer that, you know, might show up to a competition a little stressed out, needing to find her own Zen moment. But once she gets there, she's proven over the last decade that she is the best in the world more often than not.
Well, Chris, I think we're all familiar with the stories of athletes like Serena and Venus Williams or Tiger Woods, who seem to come out of the womb with superhuman athleticism, but who also have parents who start working with them at a very early age. And from what I've read, Carissa seems to be from that sort of mold. So can you tell us a little about Carissa Moore's father and the role that he has played in her development as a surfer?
Yeah, so Carissa's dad, Chris Moore, grew up in Hawaii, born and raised, was a collegiate swimmer. And Chris said even before she could walk, Chris was putting her on the front of his longboard and paddling out on Waikiki and getting her used to the rhythms and the feel of the ocean.
It started shortly after birth. And so the process obviously isn't, you're not pushing your kid into waves at one, you know, at, right. You know, but getting them comfortable in the water, you're teaching them how to swim, you're having them, you know, just feel comfortable on a surfboard.
But it wasn't until she was about 10 years old that Chris Moore told me that he really realized that A, she had her own individual love for the sport, that it wasn't coming just from his own, various parental pushing, but also that she was really, really good at it.
10 years old, I was like, now, either I'm that parent that just thinks that my kid is the greatest, right?
Yeah.
Or, and I struggled with it. But for the most part, I'm like, no, I'm right. Because Carissa's technical ability at 10 years old was better than the best girls in the world.
Aged just 12, she was already being touted as a generational surfer who could go on to rewrite surfing's record books.
When I ride a good wave, I feel really excited about it, and it just feels like you're free and you have no worries in the world.
He put her in competitions with older surfers. More often than not, she was going up against really talented male surfers in Hawaii.
That way, there was no pressure. I was the girl, right? But it was also an opportunity for me to be in a lineup that was a little more intense, a little more aggressive.
She knew that if she kept competing against these fellow surfers, that she was going to be able to raise her game to the level that it's gotten to now.
I mean, at a young age, I probably wouldn't have put myself in those situations without my dad as my coach. So it was all thanks to him. And I think it really has been a positive impact on my development as an amateur and stuff.
When she was growing up, Carissa was also good friends and competitors with a surfer whose story many people probably know. Chris, can you tell us about that friend and the impact she had on Carissa's life as a surfer?
So one of Carissa's best friends when she was growing up is Bethany Hamilton, who was one of the surfing prodigies of America for, you know, a very long time. But when she was a teenager, she was attacked by a shark off of the shores of her, you know, hometown and lost her left arm in a shark attack. And obviously it derailed her competitive surfing career. But she has gone on to become one of the more inspirational sports stories that we've had in the last couple of decades.
And was actually the inspiration for the movie Soul Surfer.
Yes.
Teenage girl from the North Shore, shark attack.
Hollywood definitely struck gold when they realized that Bethany's story would resonate with so many sports fans, so many people worldwide.
There's an eighth grader from North Carolina who lost his arm. He's going to try out for a school soccer team because of me, and he's rooting for me in my next competition.
Before Bethany's shark attack, she was on the trajectory to become the best surfer of all time. Chris Moore told me straight up, Bethany was always Carissa's answer.
Bethany, she was the proper counter for Carissa. So Carissa had her on talent, but Bethany being more fearless, yeah, and understanding the ocean. Bethany had an uncanny ability to get the best waves. And she had the heart of a lion.
And Chris Moore talked pretty extensively about how without the friendship of those fellow surfers and having somebody like Bethany Hamilton push Carissa, Carissa maybe doesn't get here.
Going back to this idea of Carissa's father and how he sort of went about raising this surfing prodigy, what did Carissa and her father have to say about finding a balance between pushing her really hard, but also not breaking her?
I think that's been the most influential part of their coaching relationship, because I think, as Chris Moore told me, once Carissa got to a skill point where he knew that she could compete annually for titles, he had to figure out a way to coach her from the psychological standpoint. Fame isn't for everybody, but there's a tremendous amount of pressure that comes with it. You have to answer to sponsors. You have to answer to yourself. You have to answer to your fans. But what her dad wanted to do once she reached a certain age where he knew that she could win was that to help calm the waters that might be sloshing around in her mind.
Athletes, whether it's the right thing to do or not, you sort of want to give the impression that you're impenetrable, or this is something, or you have it together. And I've always encouraged Carissa to be real about it. You go through the same thing as your average human.
Yep.
I'm sure you're aware of The Weight of Gold, right? That documentary.
None of us had normal childhoods.
I want to win.
The Weight of Gold was a documentary that debuted on HBO Sports last year, and it delves into the Olympic athlete being forgotten for three years and 11 months.
And now the next 40 seconds will dictate our human lives.
But after the Olympics, the village doors close, and that's kind of it.
And a lot of athletes discuss how the anxiety, the pressure, the fear of not succeeding at the Olympics takes such a mental and physical, psychological toll on themselves. And Chris Moore mentioned that when we spoke, and has been able to, you know, utilize that to tell Carissa that while you might be the favorite in Tokyo, results don't matter.
It's more of the, hey, this is an experience. Enjoy the experience. Don't get caught up into thinking that you have to win a gold medal,
right?
Because the odds are against Carissa winning gold medal.
And I think that was the biggest thing that Chris Moore tried to instill in his daughter. If you stick true to who you are as a person, as an athlete, everything else will fall into place.
So do you feel like they have hit that sweet spot between helping her work extremely hard to realize her dream, but not kind of cracking under the pressure mentally? Because I know this is something that a lot of parents and parent coaches don't get right.
I mean, the results speak for themselves. Carissa and her dad are tremendously close. She and her husband, Luke, are currently living with him in Honolulu while their house is being built. Carissa and her dad both say that they do a really good job of dividing professional coaching time versus father-daughter time. And I think if you look at the slate that Carissa's had the last decade, where she's won those four world titles, that coaching perspective is paying off for them as a duo.
That was unbelievable. That is a perfect 10-point ride. Every single judge agreed.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know, with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, well, Chris, as we mentioned, this is the first time that surfing is an Olympic sport. For fans who might not have seen it before, what should they expect? How exactly is this going to work?
Well, what's unique is that they're holding this competition around Japan, which isn't exactly well known for having, you know, righteous waves to surf. So, you know, the competition format, there will be a 30-minute window to catch as many waves as possible. Each ride is scored, but the top two will make up the final score, and that's what it is. Having talked to a lot of folks in the extreme sports world that have transitioned into being Olympic sports, a lot of them, not only in surfing, a lot of them have mentioned how they think this first Olympics is kind of a guinea pig Olympics.
I kind of feel like a guinea pig because no one's ever had surfing as the Olympics, so we really don't know what the bar is yet on how to train or... how to approach it.
So skateboarding, climbing, surfing, this is all going to be a learning experience for everybody involved in the sport. And, you know, the surfers got to Japan a couple of weeks ago, so they've been there. They're in quarantine. They are training. And I hope a lot of folks who haven't been able to watch some of the best surfers in the world find time to tune in because, as you know, Anders, these surfers do things on waves that it's really tough to comprehend.
And lastly, Chris, you know, taking into account the fact that this is sort of a guinea pig Olympics for surfing and the unpredictability of wave conditions, especially in Japan, what did Carissa have to say about her expectations and her goals for this Olympics?
Carissa said that she's trying to treat this competition like any other. And surfing is unique in that while she might be the most successful, you know, female surfer of the last decade, she's not guaranteed to medal. It's all about who's lucky enough to surf at what time of the day, what waves are going to break best for them.
I just want to go out there and try to go in with like a, you know, open for whatever comes my way and obviously check all my boxes and work super hard and feel as ready as possible. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but I'll definitely give it my best shot.
And I think if Carissa can put together a good run in Tokyo and extend this really impressive decade of surfing, women's surfing doesn't have a GOAT. I think Carissa has the opportunity to put herself in that conversation if she can medal in Tokyo.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us today, and hopefully watching Carissa will inspire you to get up on your board for a fifth time.
I think when that day comes, that might be worthy of its own lead episode. I'll just say that.
We will be there.
Thanks, Anders.
You can read Christopher Kamrani's full story about Carissa Moore and find more of his outstanding writing at theathletic.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto. Thanks for listening. To hear more of The Lead, you can follow us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Or to listen to us on your Alexa-enabled device, just say, Alexa, play The Lead podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The drama.
They're having to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And he scores!
The superstars.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm Mark
Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.